Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
All right, people in the place to be. Welcome to another beautiful Sunday afternoon, another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I am LJ.
What's going on, people? It's Tweety.
How'd your team, how'd your Little League team do yesterday?
Say what?
How'd your Little League team do yesterday?
Trash. My Little League team got smacked. We lost big. I was just starting to realize my team ain't got much talent. That's really all they come down to. But they work hard, though, and they don't quit.
Coach?
But we got... Nah, I'm talking about the players. Why are you trying to be funny? Now, it's really... I got a bunch of newcomers. I don't have a lot of experience on my team. And it's starting to show when you play against a team that has year-round football. And it starts to show.
Yeah.
But that's all. I mean, they work hard. They work really hard.
It's just crazy.
Yep, we got a lot of... We play against a lot of teams that do year-round football.
I am vehemently, I can't even pronounce the word correctly, opposed to year-round football, especially at the youth level. I don't know who came up with that idea, but I think it's one of the worst things that I have heard. I mean, I only heard of it, I only started to hear about it when I got here to where we currently live at. I absolutely deplore year-round football for these young kids, especially when you think about all the reports, the articles and the research and all this stuff that the professionals on down, when I say professional, I'm talking about from the NFL all the way through high school, because the athletes may not be professionals in high school, but the coaches are definitely professional. They're paid to win.
Right.
You know, all this stuff they're doing to try to minimize the amount of contact players take outside of the game, outside of game day and stuff like that. I just think it's insane. And all this talk about concussions and all that, I just think it's kind of insane to play football year-round. But, hey, you know what? To each his own. If you got a child
right.
to play football year-round, you know, absolutely. That's your prerogative. I am not judging you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I just letting you know right now that my kids will not be playing year-round football. I mean, I just ain't going to be able to do it. It's other stuff I done for them to do. But anyways, let's get on into it right now, Tweety. So I don't know if y'all been paying attention. This story right here kind of caught my eye. By surprise, actually. You know, I listened to a lot of different podcasts, and I was trying to find some stuff that I hadn't, something new to listen to. So I flipped on and said, well, let me go, because I hadn't listened to Outside the Lines in a while. I used to listen to that all the time. Say, well, let me go and see what they got. And lo and behold, I found this podcast. I forgot what the title of the podcast was. But anyway, you know, Outside the Lines actually comes on, I think, every day of the week. Oh, ESPN. But anyway, so this podcast was about a team, and God help me, I forget what state it was in. I think it was Washington. I was just reading a stinking article earlier today. A team, Archbishop Murphy Catholic School, team apparently is so good that team said, hey, you know what? We ain't coming over there. Y'all go ahead. You can have that dub. We're gonna stay at the game. We're gonna stay at the crib. Forfeiting games without even playing them. I mean, in the first 3 weeks of the season, Archbishop beat their opponents 170-0, which happens. I mean, I know they put that out there to make it. That's a mind blowing stat. People are like, oh my God, 170-0. But that doesn't tell you anything about the quality of the opponent. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just like saying, if a Division I team played 3 1AA teams and they were running up the score like that, and you just put out that they, won 170-0 3 weeks in a row, in totality, over those 3 weeks, you know, you're not framing it properly because, you have to be able to gauge the quality of competition. Did
right.
you get a chance to read the article that I sent you?
Yeah, I got a chance to read it. I've seen a lot of things tap out before they even started.
Yeah, so if I'm assuming some may have heard, some others may have not. Basically, what a lot of teams, the teams that had forfeited, were saying, the coaches that they talked to, the concerns were about some of the size differentials. Apparently, Archbishop has multiple players that are north of the 300-pound mark, and I guess pretty tall. And some of these other teams, that one coach in particular, whose school I can't remember, said that his biggest kid was 245 or 250, and then, you know, he kind of started to kind of go downwards from there. What are your thoughts on a situation like this? Like, as far as, like, the teams actually canceling the game?
Well, that's really the only part I was going to look at. I don't like that. I mean, that's really showing. I mean, I don't know, like you said, I don't know the level of competition that's even in this school league. Like, I don't know, like, if it's on the level of, let's say, like, what we played in Taps or small Taps or small UIL. Like, I don't know the level of competition, but any level of competition, I think it feels like you showing your team, hey, you got to pick and choose your battles in a game of football, and pretty much this is a battle that we don't even want to fight. Like, it shows you as weak as a coach at that. Like, I don't agree with throwing in the towel at all at any point in the game, and especially before we even suit up. Like, just by looking at the team on film, I mean, you might know that you might go into the game, hey, we might lose this one, but I don't know about the whole quitting before we start. I don't respect that at all. Like, my take on that is weak-minded coaching staff all around. Like, if you've had this happen, like, what, they played like three games and all the rest of them been canceled, and I think they like 6-0
to this point.
I
think some of the teams canceled like weeks before the game.
Crazy to me. Like, unless you have a program issue, I don't think you should cancel the game. If your only issue is saying you have no chance in winning, I don't think you should count.
So one team that they played, in my mind, had a legitimate reason to cancel the game. They only had 14 players. It's kind of no, you know, I don't say there's no point, but I can understand canceling a game and say, hey, you know, I only got 14 players. It's tough to play a high school football game with only 14 players.
Yeah.
Especially with a team that, from the outside looking in, I've never heard of them. Never seen them play, but according to the things I've read, they must be a pretty good team,
right,
in the area and on the level, and on the level that they play in. Now, the other issue that came up a lot, that seemed to be the number one, I'll say, reason that the teams were saying that they were canceling, was a fear of injury. And I wouldn't even call it a fear.
Right.
Because everything I read, every person that they had a quote from or that spoke, because I read some articles, and then I listened to the Outside the Lines podcast, everybody who was speaking in terms of from the side of counseling the game, they didn't assume somebody, they didn't say somebody's probably going to get, they basically said it was a certainty that if they played that team, somebody would get hurt. Do you think that is a legitimate reason for them to cancel the football games?
No, because I think no matter who you're playing, it's a very high probability that somebody's going to get hurt. I don't care if it's big, small, talented, not talented. It's football. It's a contact sport. If you cancel the game on the chance of an injury, you really coaching the wrong sport. Like, it's not golf. It's not tennis. It's not a situation where the injury factor.
Hey, did you say it's
low.
Not pimping?
Tennis.
You said it's
tennis,
not pimping, because I think pimping is a contact sport.
I said tennis, and pimping is very much.
Okay,
a
hey,
sport.
You know, not hearing it.
But I think you really coaching the wrong sport. Now, you need to go ahead and join the debate team, see if you can coach the debate team, because you cannot cancel a football game based on the chance of injury.
because that's really, hate to see it, it's the nature of the game. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The thing that coming from the side of the teams who cancel the games, so some of the other things I read and heard from the podcast were there was one school in particular, if I remember correctly, the coach said it didn't even really matter what the school or himself wanted to do. The parents basically said they weren't going to let their kids play. So, in that situation, I can't remember what he said he was planning to do or what he was going to do, but he did say the parents had said they weren't. It didn't matter what the school did. They weren't going to let their kids play. Now, coming from that perspective, or just trying to be objective in general, you cannot, in my opinion, cancel the game because of size differentials and worrying about players getting injured. I say that because if you go to the next level, I mean, in the NFL, you got 350-pound linemen. You also got 180-pound defensive backs, 200, you know.
Right.
There's going to be size differences, especially once you get to the high school level and kids grow differently and kids' work ethics are different. So some live in the weight room and they really go hard in the weight room, and others, you know, maybe not so much. So size is going to be different. So I don't think that's a valid excuse to say, well, my biggest player is 245. I mean, can you prevent a player from getting hurt? Absolutely. I mean, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I was going to say absolutely
no,
not. You can't prevent a player from getting hurt. Like you said, it's a contact sport. You know, things happen on the field. However, as a coach, you can directly impact how long that game lasts. And I say that because now I don't know what the play clock situation is up in the state that they play in, but there's absolutely a way to slow the game down. Hey, you know what, quarterback?
Right.
You don't snap that ball until I tell you to. So that means every time we come out of the huddle, after every snap, we're going to take our time getting up off the ground. We're going to take our time giving the ball back to the referee. When we come out of the huddle, until the ref started giving, you know, using that hand, you know, I asked the ref, hey, if you don't mind, when you get to 10 seconds, can you start giving me a countdown? We're not snapping that ball after that ref started giving me that countdown. There's ways to slow the game down, as a coach. And on the other side of that, too, on the flip side of that is, if you're that concerned about your players getting injured, from my time coaching in high school, I think that most coaches are cognizant of the fact that while they want to win, nobody's out there to injure. They don't want kids to get injured. And if a game gets out of hand, I'm sure, you know, not every coach, but most coaches, you can say, hey, you know, it's kind of getting out of hand. I don't want my players to get injured. Hell, you saw they did that at the college level this season. When Clemson played, I forget what team it was. It was one of the lower level teams. I think they were one step down. But hey, you know, they did that on a college level. That coach said, "Hey, you're gonna kick me up and down this field. I don't want to get any of my guys hurt. What can we do?" So coaches can work that. So there's ways to do it without just having kids give up before they even start. Because what you're telling the kids is, "Hey, you're not good enough. You don't have." It doesn't matter what you do, you aren't good enough. Obstacle that you look at in life that looks like it's too big for you, just say, you know what, I'm good. I'll walk away from this one. Because, you know what I'm saying, there's no guarantee that you're going to get hurt. And you may not always – I mean, how would you feel as a coach if you went into the game and your players were a lot bigger than the other team and they canceled the game on you at the last minute?
Right.
You know what I mean? So now we talked about it from the team that counts for the game's perspective. How would you feel as a coach on the other side of the field? I hear that noise. That's my son talking, my baby boy. as on the coach on the other side of the field, or a parent, or even an athlete on the side of Archbishop Murphy and teams keep canceling games on you during the season. How would you feel about that? Stop.
I mean, that's a bit of sweet, I guess. Like I say, a part of your competitive pride would be like, yeah, you know, we so good, don't nobody want to play us. But on the flip side, now it's like, why do we even have a football team? Like, if ain't nobody going to play us, why are we out here practicing? Why are we out here even hitting each other? Why are we out here learning this? If I'm not even going to, like, let's say if I do have dreams of playing on the next level, going to college and playing, who are they going to have film on me playing besides these first three games? And how am I going to get to where I want to be? Like, it's a bad situation because although you are looked at as a superpower as far as football in your state, it's really going to be no reason for you to have a football team this year because nobody's going to want to play. Like, you
now,
might get to the playoffs.
They do have one game where the coach said that they mentioned specifically left on their schedule where that coach said he intends to play. I think the coach for Archbishop, I thought he made an excellent point on two things. One, he said that by these teams doing this, they may be helping their team or whatever they consider it being done, but they're penalizing his athlete because
right.
he made the point that some of these kids are, I'm sure he's got seniors on his team. Every game you cancel is a game, you know, most kids playing high school football after high school would never play a down of tackle football again.
Right.
So every game that you cancel, you're taking away an opportunity to create lifelong memories that most coaches, whether it's Pop Warner, middle school, high school football, I mean high school, college, NFL, most coaches have those yearn for that nostalgia of playing high school football. Memories will always
right.
carry. And there's millions of people across this world who never played past the high school level who still talk about what they did in games or whatever from high school to this day, no matter how long they've been out of high school. Hell, our Uncle Curtis still be talking about what he did in high school. He's like 200 years old. Maybe not 200. I'm exaggerating, obviously. But
right.
My point being, it hurts the student athletes. But get out of those rocks.
Right.
The other issue, the other thing that I thought was a great point from their coach was, if you felt like this, so it's not as though it's not as though you came out 1 week before the game and realized that your biggest player was 245 pounds and he had a guy on his team that was 6'8", 300-some-odd pounds. I'm overcooking this chicken. You didn't just realize that. So you could have canceled
right.
this game in the summertime.
Right.
And that was one of his complaints is like, okay, you canceled the game, I got it, but you could have done this during the summertime.
I could have found somebody else to play.
Exactly. He would have had an opportunity to reschedule the games against teams from not a larger classification, but teams that would have played them, that would have wanted to play them.
Right.
And the other point I thought that I thought was really interesting was that he said, so I guess they're in a smaller classification, 2A, 1A, I don't know what size that is up there as far as high school goes, but I know, in Texas, that's pretty small. But those are the smaller
right.
schools in Texas. But he said that they tried to get out of that league. They tried to move up to a larger classification where it would have been more competitive for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the district voted against it.
Right, probably because of the enrollment of the school.
No. The district
only
voted
had like
against not their school.
All the district.
Yes, the district voted that they couldn't get out and go up. So, that sounded like he was like, we tried to get out and tried to, address this problem before, but they wouldn't let us out. And then, so I could understand his frustration. Like, hey, I tried to get out to avoid this because,
Right.
Maybe it appears, though, he saw it coming as far as them being
right.
that much better than everybody else. And then
right.
you won't let me out, but then you tell me you don't want to play me. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I that's kind of I think that's kind of ridiculous on their part. Man, I lost track of how much time. Okay, we still got 10 minutes. All right. But that's enough about that. Y'all go check that out. This is a very interesting story. So with these last 10 minutes, I know we got a lot of NFL going on. One NFL question real quick. What the hell going on with the Carolina Panthers? Was Josh Norman that valuable?
I couldn't hear you.
I said, what are your we'll scratch that question. We'll address it. What do you think is the reason that Carolina is struggling the way they are this season?
Defense. Like, you let one of the best defensive backs, I guess, that on your team anyway, and now it's really in the league, go, and you're trying to really replace his one presence with two rookies. And your secondary is not as solid as it was last year. Your D-line is 1 year old, and Luke Kuechly is going to do so much. Like, it's a defense is really close to being trash. And I don't think, like I said, Cam Newton is part of a problem, but not the problem. I think the biggest reason that Carolina is struggling is because their defense is very, very, very subpar. And there's really no other explanation for it. Cam Newton can play a whole lot better. He could pay more attention to himself. He could stay healthy. But the biggest reason is the defense.
I think I pretty much agree with that. I don't necessarily say I am completely sold on Josh Norman, because I can't say that I saw him play a lot last year. And I have seen him give up some big plays this year with the Redskins. But I think that because their defense hasn't played as well as they did last year, and the offense hasn't either. I mean, to just be frank with you. But those things kind of go hand in hand, and I hope people understand that, in the sense that if you have a really good defense, right, one, the other team scores fewer points. So the pressure on the offense is a lot less. You can do that. You can have that. You can run the ball a lot more when your team is not giving up points, constant points, because, you have the opportunity to burn that clock up, and you're not forced to try to have big strikes. Whereas if your your defense is constantly giving up points, and you can't afford to just constantly run the ball, especially if they get up a couple of touchdowns, you got to throw it a bit more, because you have to get chunks of yards faster in order to allow yourself to catch up. And Carolina has been playing from behind
a lot
in some of their games this year. As a matter of fact, they were down 21-0. I think it was 21-10 at halftime of the game today against the Saints. But so the flip side of it, with the defense not playing as well, they're giving up more points. And I think that the field position is not as good. When you got a defense that's smothering the other team, you get a lot of three and outs or a lot of short drives where teams, maybe they run more than three or four plays, but they're only getting 20, 25 yards. So as opposed to having to go 75, 65 yards, basically you're getting a shorter field offensively. So it makes it easier. That 20-yard pass now, instead of you going from the 25, now you're on still on your own 45. Well, when you have a good defense, maybe you're starting at your 40, and now that 20-yard pass, you're in field goal range already.
Right.
So as long as you don't turn the ball over, you're going to come out of that drive with some kind of points. And then, like I said, I agree to Cam Newton hasn't played as well thus far. I mean, the injury didn't help, but, what can you do about injuries? Those happen. But in these last few minutes, Tweety, I want to address my favorite team, the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. If you've been living under a rock, the NBA preseason started. Crazy part about the preseason right now, James Harden averaging like 10 or 11 assists, and he's playing like less than 30 minutes a game. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But course, what everybody is talking about is how good will the Warriors be? How good do you – I mean, give me a win total of how many games you think the Warriors will win.
I don't think they're going to even go for the record this year. So, I'm going to say around 68, 67 for Golden State. I can give them about 6 to 8 wins. Because I can see them wrapping up the division pretty early. And,
huh? No, go ahead.
Yeah, I could see Golden State wrapping up the division kind of early and giving some folks some rest for playoffs. I don't think they're going to really be too much of record chasers, even though I think that as powerful as they will be offensively, they will challenge. They could, if they wanted to, challenge to break their own record.
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you – I know when LeBron and Chris Bosh initially came to the Heat that first season, especially the first half of that season, maybe you can make an argument the first three quarters, but definitely the first half of that season, they struggled. Right. I remember them being like 9-8 at one point or something like that, you know, and in their first 25 games, they did not play well. That's probably, yeah, you know, they were fighting yeah, they weren't playing well. Do you think Golden State is going to have those kind of issues integrating Kevin Durant into their system or into their team?
No. And the reason why I say it, there's really one reason on it. He can shoot. I mean, it's easier to put a shooter in the offense than a slasher or a person whose strength is ball domination. Kevin Durant, he come off a pick and shoot. He can do – I'm not going to say the perfect plug-in guy, but, well, I guess I can say, like, if you're just going to plug a big-time name, he's pretty much the perfect offensive plug to put in because you don't really have to do much to get him involved. He's so much of a player that he can get himself involved without even dominating the ball. So I don't think they'll have those same issues because you're adding him to a team of shooters. And he can do what they do. And it's not like – and shooters' games don't usually clash. It's usually ball dominators. And he's not a ball dominator.
It will be – there's two things I'm interested to see. I mean, if you pay attention to the preseason, I mean, which preseason doesn't – you know, not really that big of a deal. They haven't really had any issues in the preseason. I mean, they beat the absolute living hell out of the Clippers. I think it was last week. They beat the Clippers by like 50 points.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, I think that was personal.
I thought I read or heard somewhere that Kevin Durant said that he was looking forward to being able to take more three-pointers because he always wanted to take more three-pointers. But I think the one thing that he'll have to make an adjustment for a little bit is he ran a lot more isolations Oklahoma City. Yeah, he ran a lot more isolation plays and a lot more come down. Oh, I got the rebound, or the ball got past me on the other side of the court. Come down, go 1-on-1, take the shot. That's not really Golden State's game. I mean, Steph does it occasionally, but it's very rare. The one guy who I think is going to have an amazing – two, I think Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are going to have amazing seasons because you got to guard Steph and you got to guard Klay, I mean, you got to guard Kevin Durant, or they might score 100 points by themselves. So who the hell is going to guard Klay Thompson? You going to put your third best defender on Klay Thompson? I mean, you know, you're going to put your third best defender on Klay Thompson, and that guy – is probably not going to be the best at defensive rotation. That's why Klay Thompson is just been paying attention to the preseason. Klay Thompson just lighting it up. You know, everybody else going. Because Klay Thompson, all he do is shoot the ball on offense anyway. He don't put the ball on the floor a lot. So, you know, you got to guard Steph. You got to guard Kevin Durant. Thank y'all for tuning in. We ran out of time.
Yep.
Look for us again next Sunday. Man. Tell a friend to tell a friend to listen. Cowboy Nation!
Let's go,
please,
Cowboy.
See y'all next Sunday.
Yeah.
If I don't do nothing, I'm about.
I'm counting all day like a clock on the wall.
Hey, move, little boy.
You sure this is the one there?
We be brushing.
That shit went right into my nose, nigga.
No, come on, we're going in, bud. Come on, let's go eat lunch. Come on, bud. Time to eat lunch. No, no, put that down. That's for the dog. She ain't out here.
Yep, dog in the house. Come on, let's go in the house, buddy. Hey, I love you. Say love you. Say love you. I love you, son. Say love you.
You want water? Christian.
You want water?
All right, John, time to eat.
Look at the culprit right here. Look at the damn footprint.
Yeah.